woof, woof.
I guess I'm doing it.
I got it.
Trigger warning.
Oh,
you got
okay.
It. This is the Freedom Beans, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 degrees Kelvin to keep a sinful statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Nick and Jim?
Yes.
And Michael.
Yes.
Yes.
He's at the table.
That's great audio, Michael. I don't know what he's
great
doing.
Great audio. Great audio.
Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah.
Was that considered a hate crime? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
I believe it qualifies.
Are you tired? Are you thirsty? Are you scared? Are you sick? Put your hands on the radio and feel the healing power of the Freedom Fiends, brothers and sisters. Send your donations to Box 1142, Casper, Wyoming. I can't remember my zip code, but yeah, it's on the website. No, it's not. So what's up, guys? How are you?
Oh,
doing just the thing.
A ducky.
Doing the thing. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let me play. So, I do have a new. Speaking of bad audio. All right, here we go. It's the new ad.
What does freedom mean?
Yeah,
tune
whatever.
In to LRN.FM and to LRN.FM. LRN.FM. That's LRN.
Yeah.
.FM.
Yeah.
.FM.
Uh huh. Here's the new one.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends?
Dedicated
buttons.
To Jeremy.
Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons.
This you doesn't sound new to me.
Designs by sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the road to freedom.
Fiendbot 3000.
Fiend phone.
Bipcot no gov.
Bad audio is a hate crime.
Ask me about my words.
Yeah.
Go to Freedom.
All right, so that's what's going to play from now on. And it is dedicated Jerry Murder Dog.
Crime.
I actually spent about 20 minutes getting that, like taking good audio and making it just the right way and flavor of bad, so you could still understand what it was saying.
What did you do? Run it through TalkShoe or something? Or
no, I actually ended up. I tried a few different things. I tried adding digital distortion, but what actually worked the best was. I recorded it with digital distortion. I overdrove recording it into a hard disk recorder, like recorded it three times too loud, so it was redlining. But through my compressor, so it actually had no clipping, but it was just distorted badly. And then I EQ'd it. I took out all of the bass and all of the treble and boosted the mid range, so it sounded like a landline telephone through a guitar amp. And I think I succeeded, but you can still understand what it's saying. So, yeah.
Well, you know, you could have just changed the encoding and saved yourself a heck of a lot of trouble.
No, it's because I wanted it to be, you know, the right encoding. Because you don't understand bad audio.
I understand bad audio. That was a joke, Michael.
Well, it wouldn't have been good bad audio. It would have been bad audio.
How'd you do it originally for your documentary? Because I remember you did your little documentary at the very beginning. It was dedicated to people who think they have good audio, and it was terrible.
Oh, my how to make my YouTube video, The Freedom Fiends Guide to Podcasting and Radio.
Which is how I tell people to upgrade their audio now. I'm just like, here, I'm done.
Thank you. Something similar to that. I don't remember exactly what I did. I don't know. I do. You know, I invented... Me and this programmer in the year 1996 or 7 or something, we invented this Windows program that actually still works on current versions of Windows. It's called Mouse Count, and all it does is counts how many times you click your mouse each, you know, session, hour, day, week, month, year, and all time. And you know, doing something like that bad audio thing is probably 300 or 400 mouse clicks for me. And the one at the beginning of that video you're talking about was about literally 5 or 6 million mouse clicks ago. So I don't know what I did, but I can, you know. You know what I should have done to make the audio bad is just emailed it to Jeremy, had him open it up at his house, and then send it back to me. Now,
the bad
audio I complained about a few weeks ago that was recorded at Porkfest was bad audio, and it was user error. It was Jeremy's fault and Chandler's fault entirely. However, Jeremy is willing to work to improve his bad audio, which most people aren't. So Jeremy asked me for a list of what equipment he should get. I had him get a mixer and a second computer and a bunch of cables. And we spent this weekend trying to improve his audio. We spent about probably 5 hours a day for 3 days, like, you know, on Fiend Phone and on Team Viewer. Not Teen Viewer. That's what Ian Freeman uses.
Speak for yourself.
We're using Team Viewer. And Jeremy was doing everything right, and we were still having immense problems. I think his house is built on a Indian burial ground, and it's cursed. And, like, we would solve one problem, and we'd get another problem, and we'd solve that problem, and then the first problem would revert, and we'd have to go back and try to solve it all over. It was like voodoo, man. And, like, by the second night, it was sounding pretty good. We were getting really good sound, really good recording. And then the third day, we went to, like, progress from there. And it was worse when we start, like, by the end of that day. I don't know what happened. What happened, Jeremy?
I'm still trying to figure that out. I honestly think part of the problem was taking the having to remove the lines a couple every once in a while and checking stuff.
Am I on mushrooms again?
Yes.
Every time we did that, I think it screwed up my stupid system. Because
did you fix it? I gave you some suggestions. Did they work?
I followed all of your suggestions. I did not find any viruses. But I ran everything, and so far we're looking good tonight. But we'll see how that goes. Good.
And you're recording right now.
Yes, I am, sir.
For a test.
All right. Yep. I know that when Michael Dean helped me when I got my setup going, we could not get it to sound good at all. And I ended up just saying, forget it. I'm going to plug my USB in. After I hung up with him, I was like, I'm going to sit down and figure it out. And it took me like 10 seconds to, like, to just go, Jim, oh, Jim, I see what it was. And I fixed it.
Jim is one of my real big success stories. Jim and Nick. Nick, I spent about 2 days teaching him everything I knew. He'd never podcasted. So when he started, he was great for episode one, but it took a lot of work.
Yep.
Jim was already making YouTube videos with pretty bad audio, good video, good content, good talking. So all I said to Jim was, okay, get this mic, get a mic stand, get the mic up near your face, and put
this
a full windscreen on it.
I can get this one, it's cheaper. And you're like, no.
No.
And I said, okay.
No. Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah, and
that was the fine tuning.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
here's how to do it. Oh, I'm doing it wrong. Oh no, you're doing you're buying the wrong one. There you go.
Yeah,
problem solved.
It was like magic, man.
Yeah. By the way, we did our first Lulberts episode today without Fiend Phone.
Oh.
And without Skype. Yeah, we did it with Discord, and it sounds great.
Talk to you? What's Discord? No. Oh, I've heard of that. Is it encrypted?
No. No,
you someday. Should encrypt the episode so no one can listen to it. That'd be funny. That'd be a Lulberts thing to do.
You have to guess the right password. I should do like a secret secret one, and then have the password guessable, but hard.
You could say the password is one word, and it's a word I used in the last episode. Go find it. And after 3 tries, like, it locks you out for a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can kind of do that with a zip file. Just have the zip file uploaded and say, here's the zip file, and there's a password on it. Now, go, and it'll be encrypted until they get the password right. So, it's possible.
Yeah.
That does not seem like a very good marketing ploy, but, you know, go for it.
We're listening to Pink Floyd live at Pompeii in the background here. It's a concert film with no audience from 1971. I got this film at my school, at the Church Farm School, and like 70 of the kids came to see it, and by the end of it, like 3 of them were watching it. They like, this is dumb. And I was just like, my mouth was just open and my eyes were wide, like, it was great. And I wasn't even tripping. No, I wasn't tripping. I had tripped yet then. I first tripped, and when I was 14, I had sex for the first time, I tripped for the first time, and I ran away from home for the first time. It was a big year for me. Mm. And I started playing guitar.
I just got a bunch of bingo points.
Yeah.
I'm going to get this one.
Yeah. Do you have this on vinyl, Jim?
No. The only Floyd I have on vinyl right now is The Wall, Animals, and Dark Side. But I would love to get a hold of this. But they haven't been producing some of the really good older stuff. So I think recently they just re-released Obscured by Clouds, which is okay. It's not buying it on vinyl quality for me, though. It's a good album. I
really like it.
Yeah.
I don't think I know that one.
This is where Roger Waters gets kind of disco-y in this part right here, his bass line.
Yeah. But did you ever play this the song to 2001 A Space Odyssey?
No, is it one of those?
Yeah, there's a part in it. The last part of that movie is 23 minutes, which is how long the song is. And you play it right when it goes ding or whatever. You can find instructions online, and it goes with it pretty well. And right when it starts going like doot doot doot, like the color scheme of when he's zooming, whatever, kind of like like this weird kind of like trip, it just trips
he's
out.
He's going
right
through the wormhole to Alpha Centauri. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about my plans to get us all to Alpha Centauri by sending our radio waves there. And now that I've got this app called Night Sky, I realized Alpha Centauri is not visible line of sight from anywhere we're on radio. So we're throwing radio waves in the wrong direction. But I'm only going to mention this now and not bring it up again until the radio waves that we're sending have had enough time to get to Alpha Centauri. And when, you know, like, you know how those doomsday cults, like, always have an excuse, like, oh, we forgot to carry the one, you know?
Yeah.
When they get everyone to donate and then they go up on the hill and it doesn't happen. Yeah, well, when the aliens don't come to save us 4.3 years after we got on radio, that's going to be my excuse. I did the calculations wrong. We were sending the radio waves in the wrong direction. We need to get on the radio in Australia.
Well, we were on the radio in the Philippines for a while, so there you go.
We're still on the radio there.
Is that the
Southern Hemisphere? Yeah, but it's like a 10-watt, you know, let's say, quote-unquote, air quotes, community station.
Okay.
I don't think that's...
10 watts? Get to the staircase?
Yeah. Well, no, because it's a volcano, but then you throw the Virgin in. All right.
Worms.
Wow. My music kind of clashed there with Pink Floyd. Yeah.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Yeah. Jeremy just tried to suck my brain out by asking me audio questions. I don't have any RAM left for that right now.
Oh, this is a public service announcement. Bad audio is a hate crime.
It is.
Just you thinking about it kills you inside.
It does. I'm going down on prednisone. I'm down to 5 milligrams a day from 30. That's horrendous, man. I'm suffering. It's bad, but I got to do it. All right, so I want to make a couple announcements. One is, the name of the show is Never Pick a Fight with Anyone Who Buys Radio Waves by the Barrel. To take off on something Mark Twain said. He said, he was talking about newspapers. He said, never pick a fight with someone that buys ink by the barrel. So there's a LRN satellite fundraiser that people should contribute to. You can go to fund.lrn.fm fund.lrn.fm. And for only pennies a day, you can bring satellite us and Free Talk Live to starving white people in Europe. Last year, we did it for the black people in Africa, and I'm part black, so I like that. I'm part African. I'm mostly European. So this year, so if you didn't contribute, if anyone didn't contribute last year, because you're an alt-writer and you're like, I'm not going to help those people in Africa, you know, now you can help the people in Europe. Although all the people from the Middle East are now in Europe. So I don't know. But yeah, go to fund.lrn.fm. And that's one thing. Hey, I got another really cool, cool thing to tell you. So, are you annoyed when you look at a YouTube video that's shot on a phone and it's sideways?
Ah, so annoyed. Mm-hmm.
Did you know there's a button in YouTube now to fix that?
Ooh.
No, I did not.
I used it today. I shot video of my cats encountering the Roomba for the first time. It's pretty hilarious. It's 2.5 minutes. It's like 3 minutes long. It's on the YouTube button on the Freedom Fiends app. You can go see it. It's at the top of the list. My cats were terrified and attacking the Roomba all at the same time. But, nice. Yeah, so I wasn't thinking and I shot it. You know, it's weird because generally when you use your phone, you're holding it, you know, portrait view instead of horizontally. Yeah. And you tend to just automatically do that when you're filming. So if you ever film something that you want to flip without pulling it into an editing program, I'm going to post a video tonight. Somebody made a tutorial on how to do this, but it's pretty simple, really. This video is like 30 seconds long. Pretty much, you just click on, you upload the video, and then you click on the button that says enhancements. And one of the enhancements is rotate right, and that fixes it. It takes a long time to do it. Like for a 3-minute video, it probably took 25 minutes before it was ready to view correctly, but it kicks butt. It didn't change the resolution in any noticeable way. If you ever shoot activist video, I would recommend, you know, like if you shoot the cop, you know, if you film the cop beating someone up for singing and praying next to a walrus. Did you guys see that or a seal?
Mm-hmm. What?
Horrible.
No.
It was like some Buddhist in Hawaii, like there was an injured seal on the beach and he went out and chanted next to it. And this cop came out and like beat him with a truncheon and then pepper sprayed him for chanting next to an injured seal. So if you were, you know, if you filmed that and you filmed it the wrong way and you uploaded it, here's what I recommend to do, though, especially with something that's going to go viral, is if you make an edit of it, it's easier to watch. Like, say you film 27 minutes of it and you just want to show the
radio.
The minute where, what?
I got interrupted. I'm sorry. I tried to mute my microphone, but I got interrupted.
Oh, you telling your dad, leave me alone, I'm on radio, Dad?
Yep. I thought you were reminding cool. yourself that you were on radio. He was like nodding off. Like, oh, wait a minute, I'm on radio.
When I was a kid, it was, leave me alone, Dad, I'm listening to radio. Now it's, leave me alone, Dad, I'm on radio. And most of Nick's friends are like, what's radio? But anyway, you know, I've been calling my cat, Beast, I've been calling him Nick Hazelton. Did you see the picture I tagged you eight times
with? I saw
the
picture, yeah.
You never acknowledged it. I kept tagging
you.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah, my cat's 9 months old. He's a strong, black, young cat. And he his body language is like a teenage boy. Like, he lays over the edge of the bed with his arm, like, hanging out with his chin down, yawning, looking superior to everyone. He's like a teenager. So I call him Nick Hazelton when he does that. But so if you ever have to, you know, post activist video like that, what I recommend is post two versions of it. One is the edit that's going to go viral, and then, like, you know, the 30 seconds where the beating happens and where it's, you know, switched the right direction or whatever. But then somewhere else, like, and link this in the show notes of the video. Have the unedited video, like, as exactly as it came out of your camera or phone, because then there's no question. Like, people aren't like, oh, you faked this or whatever. Like, they can examine the unaltered video. So do that. Do both. But, yeah, I'm going to post this video on how to rotate your video on YouTube.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself. groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon. Your house is in property.
Send you a copy.
Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Give me your email. Yeah. www what now?
Yep. Musical accompaniment tonight by Pink Floyd. All right, so we're discussing what not to feed your pets. And we do give you more useful information than most libertarian talk shows. Don't feed cats onions. And we had a discussion of whether it was raw or cooked onions. We couldn't remember. And then we looked at a site called petinsurance.com. It's a company that insures your life insurance for pets. Says cooked or raw are bad for pets. And, you know, I'm going to believe that because it's in their best interest to know what will harm a pet. And Jeremy said it was the fallacy of appeal to insurance company. But, you know, in the libertarian
appeal onions. That was Grover.
Uh-huh. In LibPair, insurance companies would be one of the highest authorities anyway, in a way, because they'd replace everything. Man, Pink Floyd's great.
Well, yes, they are, and that is kind of the idea. Insurance companies, arbitration.
That is the idea that Pink Floyd is great. That's the idea.
Well, no, that's an objective truth. I was saying the idea for LibPair, which we don't actually know yet because we're not there, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Is that they would? But.
So
onions are bad.
Yeah. I wanted to say before we get into this book, how Nick's a book virgin. Hey Nick, do you like Pink Floyd?
Yeah, I don't listen to him very much, and I haven't listened to a whole lot, but I do enjoy him.
Cool. We finally found a band that all the fiends on tonight. The whole squirm of worms likes. That's rare. So I want to talk about shaming my friend who has cancer. That's
brilliant. Is it following you?
No, he's not my friend. But we're gonna shame him later. We're gonna use a picture of him. Well, let's just get that out of the way. What did he do? Show me on the doll where he touched you, Jim.
Well, yeah, I thought he touched you. You showed me this. Where is this picture at?
It was one of our friends in Martin from Germany sent us this picture of a YouTube thread.
Oh my god.
What?
Saw the picture. Yeah, saw the picture.
Yeah. What's the thread say, Jim? You got it up? You got a handy?
I'm pulling it up. It was like your profile picture, so that's how it makes it easier for me to find it. Okay, so yeah. Someone named Thomas Mischler asked, Stefan, make yourself clear. Are you an anarchist or a nationalist populist? And his response was, I am what was necessary.
No. His answer is, I am necessary.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah,
you have to say it like that. It's very like. Mm-hmm. Oh, but let it be written. Evil. You know, let it be written. Let it be done. Or I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. It's so pompous.
Well, no, he's
he's admitting that he's bending in his ideology, especially when he says things like, you know, contact your government, Germany. They will listen to you. They will understand you. They will work for you. They love you. And I'm like, wow.
Oh, I thought that was the French government. I don't even know.
Or the French government, or what was one of those European governments? They're all the same.
Yeah.
They all look the same to me.
I don't even know anymore.
All those European governments look alike.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so that's enough of him. So
I made a picture of him as Bane.
Yes,
and
Bane.
Because there's a scene in Bane where he says like you're pure evil, and he was like I'm necessary evil, and so I kind of just and I was like that's kind of what it sounds like. Like
I am I'm what's necessary. Say it like Bane.
I am what's necessary.
Of course. And we're selling the you know what we should sell? We should sell like Jim Jesus voice changer modulators that change your voice to Bane, and it's just a coffee cup with like a Bipcot sticker on it or something.
Sell it for $20. Yeah, I should sell Walbert's mugs, but not sell this or glasses.
That's funny.
This is a beer sign.
Yeah. All right. So my friend John Vibes. Do you guys know John Vibes?
Yes, I know John Vibes.
What's he write for? He writes for a bunch of online magazines. He's really good. I like him.
Was it the Free Thought Project? I know he writes for the Consciousness Resist Network.
Yeah, he's a good writer. And he often kind of like breaks news to the liberty community he specializes, I think, in police horribleness and government horribleness, but he has other stuff too. But great guy. I met him 3 Pork Fests ago when I was at Pork Fest. And he's got cancer right now, and he's taking it so well. I mean, he's like, you know, I see updates from him every day, and he's just cheery and really optimistic about everything. Before he got sick and before I got sick, we both went to Pork Fest 3 years ago, and I met him. He came to see, it was either Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, or DIY or Die, The Road, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. I showed both of them at Pork Fest, and he came to one or both of them. And at one of them, he came up to me afterwards and introduced himself and said he really admired my work. And I was like, when he told me who he was, I was like, man, I really admire your work too. It was this like total Jack Fest, you know, at Pork Fest, as they say. And not to be confused with Jackalope Freedom Fest, which is even better than the John Vibes, Michael Dean Jack Fest at Pork Fest. Yeah, but so he hands me his book. He's like, man, I want to give you this book I wrote. I just published it. I just got, you know, the copies of it. I really want you to have a copy of this. And I'm like, hey, man, thank you. And I thought it was gonna be like something I could fit in my backpack or whatever. He hands me this like 900 page tome, like it weighs like 6 pounds. And I'm like, ugh. And I look at it, I start thumbing through it. It's like really well. It looks well. It's well written. It's well laid out. It's a good book. And I'm like, but I'm reading, as I'm walking away, I'm like, this is a Liberty 101 book. I'm going to pass this on to somebody else. You know, I don't need a Liberty 101 book. I'm not going to read a 900 page Liberty 101 book. I love this guy, John Vibes, but I'm going to confess this on the show. I reverse shoplifted your book 10 minutes after you gave it to me. I was carrying it at night around at Pork Fest, and I was like, 5 minutes away, it got heavy. I was like, I'm not going to carry this, you know, the whole Pork Fest. So I was walking by Davy Barker's table, and he was asleep or somewhere else for the night. His table was covered up with a, you know, tarp to keep dew off of everything. And there was nobody at his table. And I just lifted up the tarp and slipped John's book under it and covered it back up and walked away. So there it is. So I don't know what Davy did with it. I'm assuming he sold it or gave it away or something. But, you know, there it is. Paper books are old. I've been writing paper books since the year 2000, and I would never write a paper book again. They're heavy to lug around. So that is how we get into book virgins. I didn't even realize I was setting us up for a segue. So, Nick, are you a book virgin?
I'm actually not. I have read a few books in my lifetime, and I have finished them.
So me too. Have you guys? You guys have all read books,
I don't know if
right?
The Cat in the Hat qualifies, Nick, but...
Oh, dang it.
The Yak in the Hat?
I've read a lot of Dr. Seuss. Yeah, including
Yak. I used to read a lot of books, but I haven't... When I started writing books, I kind of gave up reading books, and that was my excuse. Like, I'm too busy writing books to read books. Although, in Stephen King's one nonfiction book on writing, his book about the craft of writing, he says that's a cop-out. He said that good writers have to keep reading all the time. And he says a lot of writers tell him that they are too busy writing to read. He said that's a cop-out. But so, Nick, introduce us to the concept of book virgins. I first heard about this on Free Talk Live the other day, and I was fascinated. Go ahead, Nick.
Sure. So
what are we reading
it
from
explains
here?
A book virgin. I'm reading from intellectualtakeout.org. The article is called Many College Students
I'll have this
Are
Cream
Book
of
Virgins.
Young, the Cream of Sung Young guy, please.
Did you say you'll have the cream of some young guy?
Yeah.
Did you really make that joke to Nick?
No. That's a Wayne's World joke, man. Come on.
I know.
Okay.
right. Nick doesn't know what Wayne's World is. Nick, do you know what Wayne's World is?
No, I don't know.
Wow. You're dead to me.
Nick, I had, I had to explain to Nick what be kind, please rewind meant.
Wow. Have you ever even seen a VHS? Have you ever even seen a VHS tape, Nick?
I have.
Yeah, but he's never very young. I haven't seen one in 5 years. He's never like returned one to the rental place.
Nope.
Where you'd see that sign. Sometimes it was a sticker though on the tapes, but
yeah. Oh god, I worked at the rental place. I worked at Blockbuster. That was horrible.
Oh, that's like that movie. What's that movie?
Be Kind, Rewind.
No, the other movie.
Oh.
Christmas
Bootlegs.
Clerks.
Well, no, that
most overrated movie ever.
Oh, you're kidding me. That movie was great.
It's great.
It's cute. All right. So, Nick.
37 in a row?
Nick, what's a book version?
All right. A book version is somebody who has never read a book all the way through.
I got this immediately when they were talking about it on Free Talk Live. Like, they read that much, and then Ian said, "Oh, do you mean someone who's only read, you know, like PDF books or on a Kindle who's never read a paper book?" And like, no, I immediately thought, like, no, there gotta be people by now who've never read even like an online book, you know, a whole book. It's really disappointing to me, and you know, there's a lot of stuff, and we're going to cover this later, of like things that used to exist that don't now, or the way things were before Nick was born that we all had to suffer through, that I'm like, good riddance, like vinyl records, good riddance.
Shut up.
But
how dare you?
But you know, like I don't even care if someone's never read, you know, a physical book, but the thought that no one's ever read a complete, even on a Kindle or a PDF, like what that teaches you is like the ability to follow through on a thought for more than the length of a 10-minute YouTube video, you know, reading a whole book. So, sorry, Nick, carry on.
What were we talking about?
Book virgins.
Yeah, so it says, to gain admittance to college in the 17th century, students had to be able to read and translate various Latin authors on site. 100 years ago, students were required to have read various classical works before being admitted. Today, however, many American students are being admitted to colleges without ever having read a book from start to finish. They are part of a cohort of students known as book virgins. The National Association... yep.
Well, that just started. That's not these kids.
Yeah, I know. It's true.
Common Core probably makes it illegal to read a book.
Yeah, they want you to read instruction manuals instead.
Read. Yeah. All right. Here we go. We'll be back. Hang tight, book virgins. Hillary Clinton is a socialist in her dress. Audio stinks.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Is spreading the message of liberty and peace around the globe worth 15 cents per day to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. Last year, we did a fundraiser that successfully covered the costs of continuing our African channel. This year, we're hoping to raise enough to fund a new satellite signal that will cover Europe, North Africa, and much of the Middle East. You can donate as much or as little as you like via the Indiegogo campaign at fund.lrn.fm. And there are perks available like sitting in on your favorite LRN.fm show, exclusive shiny badges, or even naming a satellite channel. Please contribute now at fund.lrn.fm and help us continue our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. The fundraiser ends August 19th, so please visit fund.lrn.fm today and thank you for your help. That's fund.lrn.fm. Ow.
I inhaled pizza during the break.
You smoked some crocodile during the break?
No, just pizza.
Smoked pizza?
Well, I tried to inhale it. I don't know if I tried.
Garlic, too. Cats can't have garlic. It's basically onion to them. Okay, what were the other things? We didn't say the other things people shouldn't give pets. Chocolate,
chocolate.
Shouldn't give chocolate, yeah, to cats or
to
dogs.
To cats or dogs.
Or birds, anything with caffeine in it.
Raisins.
Yeah.
That's the reason why it's poisonous. Yeah.
Caffeine.
The caffeine is talks to dogs and cats.
What's the...
alcohol is actually very bad for them. Birds?
Oh, well, alcohol.
I don't know, giving birds. I know anybody who cooks with those still use those nonstick pans. Those things are dead. When that stuff gets burned off, it's deadly to birds. It'll kill them.
It's deadly to people, too, if it gets, if it gets hot enough.
Well, yeah, and especially if you use it regularly.
Just use cast iron. Come on, man.
Yeah, seriously.
What was the other? There was something for you can't get birds. What was it, guys?
Avocado. You can't. Right, avocado is deadly poison. Yeah.
All right, so... Book virgins, bird virgins. Go ahead, Nick. You know who liked birds was Hubert Selby Jr. He had birds.
Bingo!
There's a picture of Hubert Selby Jr. with a bird on his shoulder.
That's got to be close to a record.
All right, go ahead, guys. Bird virgins. I mean, book virgins.
All right. The National Association of Scholars. Are you going for blackout
now? Yeah.
Has pointed out this phenomenon in their recent report titled Beach Books, 2014 to 2016. What do colleges and universities want students to read outside of class? The report offers a detailed assessment of the books that colleges across the America communist recommend manifesto. To their students.
Hey, I have a copy of that. Freaked my ex-mother-in-law out when she came over one day and I wasn't here and she saw a stack of books on my counter that I just
purchased. She'd always know your enemy.
Well, that's exactly why I had it. But she immediately panicked and thought I was becoming a communist or something.
Ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
How wrong she was.
Yeah. Go on with chlorophyll.
Sorry.
The reading level of these books is oftentimes very low, meant to cater to the group of students who are book virgins.
Yes.
The desire to appeal to incoming students who have rarely ever read an adult book on their own. What did I say?
Oh, the irony. Oh.
Why can't Johnny read more than six words? Up your Ritalin, Nick. Are you on Ritalin, Nick?
No.
Why not? All
he's on
kids
Adderall.
Oh, the thing about John Vibes, the reason I brought him up, and I didn't say this, while Nick gathers his thoughts into a little pretty basket, John Vibes said he loves how I shame my best friends for bad audio and other things. I think that's great, and people should do that. Because I was shaming Derek J. the other day about his bad audio. It was bad, people. All right, go on, Nick.
All right. The desire to appeal to incoming students who have rarely, if ever, read an adult book on their own leads selection committees to choose low-grade accessible works that are presumed to appeal to book virgins who will that's type up who will flee actual college-level reading. Such book virgins have to be wooed with simple, unchallenging works. And how many book virgins are there among entering college freshmen? According to the National Academy of Scholars, or whatever it is, National Association of Scholars, David Randall,
the Scholar Union,
who drew up upon NEA and Pew statistics, about 4 million, which represents about 20% of the entering freshman class. Sadly, these students have discovered that they can receive adequate and even good grades in high school without ever reading a page of assigned texts. I got away with not reading a few of the books I was assigned, and I didn't do terribly bad.
Jeez,
in my
Cliff Notes?
I didn't. I just guessed. I read a few. I skimmed through a book. I did this with The Book Thief. I didn't do that bad on that.
The Book Thief?
Yeah, which is supposed to be really good, but I didn't. I was too busy.
Supposed to be really good.
You know, they wouldn't be book virgins if they would just stop saying m'lady to other books. Stop wearing fedoras. Stop drinking Mountain Dew.
Please.
Yeah.
Book virgins. That's sad.
book version.
I was reading Stephen King's It by like 11 or 12 years old.
And it's sadder than being a virgin, because being a virgin, like, you know, you can always get a book.
Yeah, seriously.
You can always get a girl tonight.
Get a girl tonight? What?
Of the night.
Radio not where evening. Nick lives. Probably not in full of philomath Oregon.
You could.
Anywhere there's...
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT NoGov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government License is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government License, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT No Government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends. Be the coolest kid at Fiendfest Somalia. Laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPstrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
I found the intro.
Woof, woof. Wait on me, Jeff.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza in the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except state governments. Haha. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Yeah. Matt, bro, you mad?
Jeremy?
Yeah, it's Michael.
We've all gathered here as
take your hate out on him. Okay.
Care about you and deeply love you. We want to talk to you about your bad audio. We're going to go around the room.
Oh, here we go again.
We're going to talk about how your bad audio has affected us directly and harmed us. Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I have bad audio. Hi, Jeremy. That's where you're going to end up. You're going to end up in... No, I'm sorry. So how'd the recording sound? You record it? You listen to it during the break?
I was busy doing other things, no.
Is that what you kids are calling it now?
Yes, that's what we're calling it now.
So, Jim, what did you say about if I were born before audio recording...
Yeah, if you were born in the 18th century or the 1800s, you'd be haranguing like our.
Well, if I were born in the 1800s, I'd be using words like haranguing for sure. Yeah.
You'd be harassing like all these authors for using the wrong font. Like,
font. How dare you use Helvetica?
Yeah.
And but writing, you know, parchments and selling parchments that say, that say
poor quality parchments. Yeah. Yeah. This parchment is not of good quality.
Bad fonts are hate crimes.
Bad yeah. fonts
are hate crimes. Are witchcraft.
Yeah. You know what I would? You know what I would not do, and I want to slap people when they do. Other than vote, for, you know, for anybody, but especially Hillary Clinton. She is a stinky socialist, and her pantsuit stinks, and she's a liar, and she's the devil, if there's a devil. So is Trump. You know that thing of people always say of don't end a sentence with a preposition. You ever heard that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah. Don't tell me what to do it about. You know, like there's an example. You know, what are you guys talking about? That's ending a sentence with a preposition. That is beaten into children in public school and probably in private school, probably even in homeschooling, of don't ever end a preposition, a sentence with a preposition. There's no valid reason in the structure of the English language not to do that. And trying to do anything otherwise ends up with really skewed, awkward sentences. Like, there was an example. What was the example?
Butthead. There's an example on Beavis and Butthead I can't say on radio.
No, there was one that... anyway.
Johnson, so, don't you end your sentence of the proposition. Okay, you know whose tool shed those...
whacking...
For in upon. They were whacking.
yes. Tool shed. Yes, that's a really good example of it. But there was one from... who was the guy that drew the English guy, the fat English guy that drew up the lines that created Israel? What's that guy's name?
Winston Churchill.
Yeah, but he had a great one. But the only reason, basically what it is Noah Webster didn't like that. Noah Webster didn't like people ending sentences with propositions. It was his, you know, bug up his butt. And he wrote the book on English. He wrote the first, popular dictionary and encyclopedia and style guide. And that was what they used to teach in school. So basically, like, this thing that one guy... didn't like became the first that, you know,
he was essentially planning the in English language here, what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. The Churchill thing, there's actually a bunch of variations of it, supposedly attributed to Churchill, about that rule, ending sentences with propositions of, he says, "This is a rule up with which I will not put." Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's not a grammatical error, but
yeah, and just if anyone ever tells you like tries to think they're smarter than you and correct you when you do that, just slap them. It's not a violation of the non-aggression principle, even if they're your teacher, especially if they're your teacher.
By the way,
if they're a cop, no,
kids,
I'm sorry.
Please don't try this at home.
Kids in don't good, slap cops.
In good news in the grammar department, I was at a store called, I don't know if you guys have them, Smart and Final, but they have.
No.
But
what is this?
Why are you laughing? Anyways,
I don't know. It's a funny name, and I'm also just thinking of like there's actually like something in Wyoming. It's a chain. It's called like Stop and Jerk or something. I forget what it is. Stop and Poop. No, I don't know.
There was a chain. They're all gone now. But there was a chain that my friends were really into in Wisconsin or whatever, and it was called the Pump and Munch.
And in
Oklahoma, there's a chain called Come and Go.
What is that?
Yeah. Oh, they still exist.
Nice. Wow. Stop and Pump.
Then they have...
Pump?
No, in Oklahoma, in that area, they have Come and Goes, and it's spelled K.
Oh, yeah, gosh. Yeah, I've seen those, too.
Yep. Yeah. Anyways.
Okay, so...
In the express lane, instead of saying 15 items or less, it says 15 items or fewer, and I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you so much for using correct grammar. It's 15 items or fewer, not less.
That's funny. So have you guys seen this documentary, Helvetica?
Yes.
Yeah, it's about good the film. Font. Yeah, it's about the font. And I remember like watching it and loving it on Netflix one night. And the next day I told my wife about it. And she's like, she's a voracious reader. She's, kind of a grammar Nazi, like in a good way. Like she doesn't do the stupid ones. But, you know, a lot of what she does in her job is proofreading. And she is horrified, too. She has to read a lot of police reports. You'll never actually have to slap a cop for telling you not to end a sentence with a proposition because they don't even know that. Cops have the worst grammar. Like, if you ever want to laugh, find some police reports and read them. And that's a running joke, too, in the show The Wire. Like, they'll say, like, hey, you wrote here that he was lying prostate. That's not really what you meant, you know. There's another one. It's like 150 people vacated the building. And he's like, people were vacated or evacuated. And they're like, you don't evacuate people. Well, actually, you can, but that means to give them an enema. the building was evacuated of people. But I told my wife I watched this movie, Helvetica, and I was really excited about it. And she just rolled her eyes. Like, she doesn't like documentaries very much anyway. She likes fiction in movies and books. But I was just so excited about this movie. And I heard this comedian, I can't remember his name, but he was talking about the movie Helvetica. And he was like, Have you guys seen this? There's this movie about a font, and he talks about it for a minute. I'm like, wow, a comedian who likes this. And then he talks about this other documentary that I was like rushing to find it, and I had to go watch it. And it's a documentary about before the states had standardized, like the post office, you know, there's two letter abbreviations for all the states. And at one point there were longer abbreviations, like Mississippi was MISS, et cetera. And they standardized it. They had this committee of three former English professors who spent like a year working for the federal government coming up with, you know, the two letter designations. Cause you'd think it'd be easy, but then there's like, you know, Arkansas AK, but then you're like Alaska. Oh, damn. But he's talking about it. It sounds great. I go look for it. I'm like, it doesn't exist, man. That was his joke, was just making up something kind of as dorky as Helvetica that would make dorks. Like, and I looked at his Twitter account. I can't remember who it is, but like one of the pinned tweet was like him replying to someone, hey, man, what's the name of that documentary about the naming of the state abbreviations? And he's like, it doesn't exist. I made it up. That's funny, man. That's funny.
But yeah, but the Helvetica movie was fascinating. It was good. The first time I watched it, I was like, this is going to be boring.
I hate Helvetica.
I fell asleep to it. And then I watched it again, and I was like, wait a minute. No, this is actually, yeah, I use it for almost everything.
You're a statist, man.
But I use it because I saw the documentary, and I was like, this really is the statist font. And so it's mostly kind of really a jab is. At the brutalist.
Well, Arial looks a lot like it. Arial is actually like the Microsoft, like, non-licensed version or the freely available version. Like, you have to pay for fonts. I mean, when you buy like a computer operating system,
don't.
Part of the, I know, but you know, like if you're a commercial publisher, you have to pay to use fonts, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, Helvetica is the government font, like, you know, IRS forms, the IRS building, you know, a lot of like text on government buildings in America and Europe. And, yeah, all the most street signs in the Western world. It was invented in 1957 in Switzerland. It's a neo-grotesque design. I like that.
That's pretty grotesque.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
you're so square. You like Helvetica, Jim.
I don't really like it. I know. I started using it because the movie, and then Cards Against Humanity use it for their font, which makes a lot of sense because they're kind of statist guys. But but I had to use my cards.
Kind of brutalist.
So I had to use something to match with it, and which was Helvetica.
Yeah.
And it was a kind of also a side jab at people like He Who Cannot Be Named. By the way, I owe money to Antiwar. I mentioned him on my show last.
Oh, I've kind of like forgotten that. I've been mentioning him all over the place.
Good.
I think the chilling effect is over. I think you can mention Cantwell and how horrible he is now.
Well, I gave Angela Keaton a bip strong, so that already that was my prepayment.
Yes. good
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, so anyways, yeah,
where'd you see her? Oh, at that, hey, give us a scene report from the thing you went to.
Okay, Vegas. So I went to the Freedom Festival, which was a in freedom quotations fist. libertarian
freedom
unquote
fist.
Freedom Fest. Yeah, it is Freedom Fist. They're fisting freedom advocates. And it's basically a bunch of Republicans with some libertarians scattered in here and there. Angela Keaton's definition of it is it's a bunch of Republicans and some libertarians to dance for them like monkeys. And so we kind of caught up with some of the ANCAPs there. And while we were hanging out with them, Jeff Berwick kind of pops into our little circle.
Ew.
And was like... And I was like, and then we ended up walking away.
Did
but,
you ask him why?
But he what really kind of got? But why
he
we really?
He thinks the world is flat, man. He thinks the world is flat.
Yeah. Made me walk away was when they were talking to him. They said, "Like, so what's going on with those passports?" And he was like, "I can't talk about that." And I was like, "Yeah, I knew it."
Yeah. Yeah.
Flat earthers,
scammer.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT. .org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Wolf. Bird dogs.
So have you seen any good shows lately?
No.
No good shows.
I don't have cable. I don't have cable, and I don't have Netflix, so I miss out on a lot of stuff. What about you? What are you watching, Jim?
I'm watching a few things. I'm just waiting for Rick and Morty to come back, which is gonna. Oh, did it come back yet? And it was coming back this month or something. Anyways, Stranger Things. So this is a show on Netflix called Stranger Things, and what's really kind of caught my eye about it was the kind of the intro theme to it. They were passing around this on YouTube, and it's just like, you know, the little title card animation, and it's got like some synthwave Outrun kind of neo 80s synth kind of soundtrack music, which is in vogue right now, which I love. Which actually the music that I use for the Wahlberts is all kind of that kind of stuff. So, and I was like, oh, that's neat. And then you go and watch the show, and it's kind of like this thriller. It's like the thriller, and it's about like these kids who are kind of nerds. They play D&D in the very first episode, and one of their friends just disappears, and they show him getting like disappearing in a shed or some kind of monster or something after him, and then he just vanishes. And so the whole town is like looking for this kid, and out of nowhere, this little girl shows up with a tattoo of 11 on her arm, and no one knows where she comes from. Her language is very kind of like minimal, and she's got superpowers. But everything in this is like 80s AF. All the hairstyles are 80s. All the clothes are 80s.
My favorite big hair.
It's so accurate. It's probably the most accurate representation of the 80s that I have ever seen. And they did a really good job. They pulled out all the stops. And Winona Ryder's in it. It's a great show. And I'm only in the second episode right now, but it's really good. Like, I just found it the other day, and I was like, oh, well, I know what I'm doing this weekend. It's binge watching time. Highly recommended.
Is it the first season of it, or is it has been on for a while? Or
no, this is the first season of it. It just made its debut recently, and it's only on Netflix. So if Jeremy, come on, man. No Netflix.
Well, see, the problem is, unfortunately, I already paid for Amazon Prime because I use it enough for the shipping that it makes it worth it for me. So, like, I for the longest time, I just couldn't justify getting Netflix, too.
I have both.
I don't find time to watch stuff as it is. I like some of the shows I found on Amazon Prime, but I don't think any of them have come back again.
Yeah.
Like, there was that show Transparent, which was really, really good about... Did you see that one? About, what's his name?
The only time I ever use Amazon Prime is to watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's like, oh, they're all on here? It's like Seinfeld without the laugh track. I'm all for it.
Yeah, no, well, Transparent is about... what's that guy's name? Jeffrey Tambor plays a, an older guy who's like a divorced man and decides that like he finally is going to come out of the closet and get a, not only be gay, he's going to be like get a sex change. And, it's the whole story about that. It's amazing. It's amazing. Or I think he's headed that way. I can't remember how that actually ends up, but yeah, you know, stuff like that. They play it and then takes forever to come back. So that was the whole reason I stopped watching shows in the first place. It was The Sopranos that ruined everything for me.
Why did The Sopranos ruin everything for you? By the way, I've never seen The Sopranos.
I never finished The Sopranos. I was like, I was one of the hardcore fans for the first like three or four seasons, and then they started taking longer and longer and longer to come back in between. Like, it wasn't like, you know, I mean, it was bad enough. I mean, it was cool like that it wasn't like network shows, so it wasn't like regimented, like, you know, you knew when it was coming back. But after a while, when it started to be like the next season was like 2 months later or 3 months later, then the one after that was like 6 months or 7 months later.
Oh, man.
Then, you know, like after the year passed, it was like, I just lost interest and I moved on. So I never actually finished it. So when all the people complained about the ending and how horrible it was, I was like, I have no idea what you guys are talking about. I really don't care.
Yeah, it's, the reverse is true for shows like Rick and Morty now, because Rick and Morty, it took like a year for the next season, and then now this season, I think it's only been like 6 months. They're coming out with another season.
See,
and I love that show.
Yeah,
that's, you got to check out Rick and Morty. But that's not Netflix or anything. Yeah, you have to watch that on TV, because you know that's, you shouldn't download or pirate anything.
Of course not. Yes,
because that'd be illegal. And if it's illegal, then that means it's wrong to do, right?
Yes.
And I would never recommend you do that.
Yes,
but there are websites. So I'm hearing. I think one's called the Pirate Bay, which you should never go to, and yeah, check out Rick and Morty. You could do that there, but yeah, it's illegal. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's bad. I got a warning from my cable company because I accidentally did that one day.
They sent me a letter because apparently someone had got onto my Wi-Fi. They knew my password or something.
Oh my goodness,
it wasn't me. They were downloading Rick and Morty.
Oh, see, what are the chances?
What are the odds?
Odds. Chances. Whatever.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Truly, truly, truly outrageous.
Now, Freedom Fiends.
Speaking about 80s AF.
Yeah. 80s AF. That's going to be the new show title. Actually, it's not. this is what we're calling this part of the segment, I guess. 80s AF. And Nick wasn't alive, were you?
Nope.
Oh, my goodness. You're so young.
So did you go see the new Ghostbusters, Nick?
Nope.
No.
Almost did.
Wait. Have you seen the original Ghostbusters, Nick?
I have. I have seen the original Ghostbusters a few times.
Amazing. It's amazing, yeah. Right? It's like one of the best comedy movies of all time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that could ever be recreated?
No.
No. That was just happened to be magic. Everything just... The cards were in line for that one. And you could tell because when they did the second one, it was terrible.
Oh. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
It does have a special spot in my heart because it came out when I was a little kid. And when I saw it, I was like, Ghostbusters. And, you know, and I watch it. I get that nostalgia. But I'm just like, man, that was a bad movie. It was a really, really bad movie. So they made a reboot. Is it a reboot? I guess it's a reboot.
I don't know what qualifies as what, but I guess they were doing the same story with just a female cast. Was that the idea?
Yeah. Which I honestly, when I first heard that, I was like, well, that's interesting. This could be, you know, if they're really going to kind of take it to another direction and not try to recreate it, that could be good. And I had. Yeah, I was really hoping that it would come out to be great. Everybody was like, oh, that's a terrible idea, but whatever. I don't care. I was like, no. This could actually be kind of good. This could be a good idea. And then the trailer dropped, and I was like, oh, my gosh. That was probably the worst trailer I've ever seen in my life. It was so unfunny and so obnoxious and loud, and it just hurt every part of me. Yeah, and the movie came out, and it actually the people were saying that, oh yeah, the movie was just okay, anywhere from okay to just not good. I don't think anybody had came out and saying like it's the worst movie ever. It definitely was the worst trailer, and it was probably the worst marketed movie of all time. Some people said it was like some parts of it were funny, and some parts were unfunny. It was kind of like Animaniacs, like. Oh, is that a good idea, bad idea? but they actually made a movie out of that, oh, wow. That concept. Yeah, like, let's have a good idea and a bad idea. And, so that was terrible. But it was like the backlash from it was way worse than was necessary. Because if it wasn't for all that stuff and the way it was marketed and them reacting to it, like, oh, they're all misogynists. Like, anybody who thinks this movie is bad is a misogynist. Like, no one would have cared. They would have been like Jem. Jem was another one of these 80s franchises that they made a movie out of. And not only was it bad, they also had told fans of the TV show Jem to make videos on YouTube talking about how much they loved the show and how much it meant to them. And so they were sitting there talking about like this cartoon show and how much it meant to them. And they put those in the movie as if they were talking about this band.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and when you watch it, it was nothing like the TV show. Like, the computer that made them holograms was just a little robot that just progressed, you know, like, just shot, like, a little hologram of her dad so that she can talk to him. That was the computer that was controlling everything. I forget what the name of it was. The band wasn't a hologram. It was just basically a Justin Bieber story. And there was just a lot of weird things in it that were, like they were arguing with each other and, like, the foster mom or whatever was just like, hey, everyone give me a C sharp. And so they started singing like a C sharp, and it was like, what? But because there was no like, oh, everybody who disagrees with this hates women, like, everyone forgot about it. It was pulled out of theaters 2 weeks later and no one ever talked about it again, you know?
Yeah, well, like I said, you mentioned that during the break, and I said I had heard the big deal about it because my sisters were huge fans, and a lot of girls I know are huge fans of it. But I didn't even know it came out. I didn't realize it came out and was taken away that quickly. So yeah, I didn't even forget about it. I'd never even recalled it at all.
Yeah. You should watch the Nostalgia Critic review of Jem. It's really interesting. And they go through the whole movie and show what's wrong with it, but
yeah, I'll just take your word for it, but I mean, is it, I don't know. Is it really there's that old cliche, there's no new ideas under the sun, but I mean, come on now. Have they really run out of ideas in Hollywood? Do they have nothing better to do than remake all these movies and destroy franchises and nostalgic memories for people?
I saw 10 Cloverfield Lane the other day, and that was amazing. I saw Zoolander was terrible. I don't care what anyone says, that movie was terrible. I'm not going to even bother watching the second one because I heard it's way worse. Zootopia. I saw Zootopia, and that was probably one of the best movies I'd seen this year, and I was hesitant to watch it. I was like, oh, it looks like a furry movie. But no, it was really good. It was really good.
Yeah, I actually just watched that with my kids a couple weeks ago. I caught most of it with them because I was trying to do some work while they were actually being good and sitting still for a while. I don't know. I came in at first and I was like, oh, the whole cop thing. Oh, come on. Really? Yeah. What's this message going to be about? But no, it turned out I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was, and they seemed to enjoy it too. So I was like, all right, win-win. Good job.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with it too. Yeah, I did enjoy it.
Nice, nice, nice. So yeah, there's new ideas, and 10 Cloverfield Lane, that was a really interesting movie, and it was some movie called Cloverfield I had never seen. Have you seen this Cloverfield movie?
I never saw that either. I remember that was the one that they had the marketing thing was like this big mystery. If I remember correctly, like they were all like they weren't really showing trailers. They were showing like very little about the whole thing, trying to be secret. Was that a J.J. Abrams project? I don't remember. I never saw it either. In either case, so but this one was good. So it was a sequel.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a found footage film. So this is not the same. It was a very different style. It just shows some girl pumping up at a gas station, gets in an automobile accident, and she wakes up in some guy's bunker, and you're not really sure whether or not this guy is a really a nice guy trying to help them from this event that happened outside that's killing everybody, or if he's just a psychopath trying to like imprison them for no reason. And there's, he's just kind of left in this limbo. And I'm not going to spoil it, but but it turns out to be really interesting. And that was a completely new concept to me. I don't know. So there are new ideas. It's just that why think of new ideas when you can make so much money saying, oh, where's the comic book? Just pick me a random comic book out of there. We'll do a movie about that. You know, but
yeah,
we get Deadpool out of it. So that's not all bad. Right.
No, I'm not, there's stuff like that. But I mean, like, I don't know. Just they never, most of the reason it's so hard. I mean, I guess, especially like really good movies, or at least movies that were good to the people at the time, because some movies people look back on, they're like, well, these things were horrible back then. But you know, if you were around at the time before technology took place, you know, you can appreciate the movies with the horrible special effects, like even Ghostbusters.
The Matrix. Watch it again. I don't think anybody who loves that movie has watched it in the last 10 years.
No, I like that movie.
Nope. Good.
There's
hope for you yet, Nick.
I don't know. I kind of like the first one. They got progressively weirder and more ridiculous. But I mean, I didn't think it was a great movie. But I don't know. Yeah. Maybe
and it wasn't
I,
a new I, idea. That's for sure.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah. In fact, the Wachowskis' previous movie to that was pretty much the same movie. It was almost the same movie as The Matrix. But either way,
which one was that?
I forget the name of it. There's everyone's walking around with weird hats, but yeah. Anyways, so yeah, there's this whole like coming back to the 80s stuff. Like, yeah, there's some great potential with the stuff, but they have not been executing it. Gem, Ghostbusters, but Thundercats. The Thundercats cartoon was amazing. I really wish they didn't cancel it halfway through, but it was amazing. There was supposed to be two seasons, so the season kind of ends off of the story, but there's still more story to continue. Like, you know, they get their stuff back together after a defeat, and they're about ready to go fight Mumra again, and that was, you're supposed to wait for the next season. That never came, but that whole season was amazing. Yeah, so there's hope for 80s franchise. Oh, My Little Pony, if you're into that. Apparently a lot of people are. Wrong demographic,
wait a minute. Now, I don't get that fascination. What the heck? How did that become a thing? Like, I know there was all this other 80s toys and stuff like that. Like, I realize, you know, now having kids, especially little girls, there's certain stuff that's still around apparently, and I see that they, you know, they saw one of their friends having My Little Ponies, and I didn't think anything of it, and then I come across all this other stuff like the Bronies or whatever these are things. I'm like, where did this fascination come from? What happened? I don't, like, of all things, why did people focus on My Little Pony to bring back in this way?
It was upsetting for me because that was the time that Thundercats came out, and I was like, you guys have your little My Little Pony thing, whatever, I'm gonna watch Thundercats, the good show. And because the fascination was on that and not on Thundercats was the reason why. And so I always have like this, I have this extra hate for Bronies because they killed my show. They killed this actual good show by focusing away from the good from a good 80s reboot to this. And it's and I had a roommate that was a Brony, and he tried to get me into it, and I watched a couple of episodes. I was like, I get the appeal, but this is just not for me. I kind of get it. There's not like real like adult humor like Shrek, you know, like hidden adult humor or anything in it, but there are like some like more like adult themes. Like, they had an episode about socialism, which was really interesting. Like, it was almost like an explanation of Ayn Rand. It was so weird. Really? Just not for me. Yeah.
Oh, so, okay. So at least there's, on the surface, supposed to be some kind of intellectual pursuit here, I guess. I don't know.
That was one episode. Okay. There is some milder stuff, but that one was like the best example. Yeah.
So they're stretching on a regular basis, because like I said, I was gonna say I pretty much wrote it off originally. I just assume it was some kind of other weird furry thing or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it sort of is.
Oh, and okay. so they wasn't that far off.
But they had an episode where it was kind of like the triple trouble. You remember that show from where if you're I'm not into it, but you have to still know about it. Star Trek, you know, the Tribbles, little furries, that little furry balls that just kept multiplying and taking over the ship. No?
No.
Wow. You're doomed. I'm not even into Star Trek, and I know about. Anyways, so they had an episode that was about that was almost a complete ripoff of that. Not a ripoff. Oh. It was kind of like an homage to it. And so there's things like that that kind of get like adults into it, but it's not for me. Have fun.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll stick to my Thundercats.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends. An invigorating alternative to those other shows.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. By sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the road to freedom.
Fiendbot 3000.
Fiendphone.
Bipcot no gov.
Bad audio is a hate crime.
A Freedom Fiends worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
Hey, there's some Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
Meow, 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 meow. Pokemon. Yeah. Gotta catch them all. Speaking of, well, I guess it's not 80s reboots, it's a 90s reboot, but they're not all bad, right? Thundercats was an 80s reboot. That was good. Was there another one? Oh, I guess Stranger Things is rebooting the 80s in general, which is amazing. But yeah, Pokemon Go, man. It's getting kids out and walking around and getting spied on early by the NSA. So
hit by a car.
Yeah. Well,
they're helping the police find dead bodies, you know. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Hey. One of my buddies almost hit one of our other buddies' little brothers because he was walking around town and he just went right in front of his truck.
Yeah, see, but I love how, like, that's a thing again. Back in the day, it was just like, oh, that's life. Kids just play out in the street. They play, you know, kickball out in the middle of the street and get hit. Whatever. It's just part of being a kid. And then now it's like, oh, well, they just spend a whole generation inside playing video games. So now they're actually getting back outside again. They're like, oh, yeah, kids get hit by cars when they go outside. Why were we trying to get them outside again? Oh, yeah, because they're fat. All right. So, yeah, it's a trade-off. Yeah.
Back if in I had day, a smartphone, I'd probably play, but I don't have an actual phone. I have an Apple iPod.
Oh, okay. Well, people don't have smartphones. Like, even Michael Dean has a smartphone now.
Yeah, that is pretty bad, Nick. I mean,
yeah, dude, I have a little dumb slidey phone. It has a keypad, but kind of sucks.
Well, if it works,
I'm okay with it.
A bad audio receiver. That's pretty much
what.
That's what the phone is anymore. Just bad audio. Like, can we just use Skype? they have Discord on phones now. But
oh yeah,
yeah. So Pokemans. So you haven't played the Pokemans?
Mm-mm.
No Pokemans for you.
I just found all my old Pokemon cards though.
See, I never got into Pokemon. I got Pokemon Go, but that was it. Yeah, and in the 90s, I was getting older, and that show came on. I was like, this is reaffirming everything that I'm assuming about Japanese animation. I don't like it, so I'm just going to disregard it as the same thing.
That's funny. I pretty much had the same reaction to Pokemon when it first came out. I had no interest, and I have no. I mean, beyond the fact that, I mean, what was it? I think it was Michael actually said, or that I've heard it from other places, people too, maybe, that, you know, the whole idea is that this is the way for the, not just the NSA to spy on people, but to get pictures from for inside buildings, because people are running around inside all the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, that might be true, that might not be, but just the idea in general, I don't know. Like, these things, like, it's like a fad gone haywire, and it just, like, yeah, is it getting some people out and moving around? Sure, but to me, it's just the like a sad testimony about, or maybe not testimony, is not the word, but about society.
Someone's
because
mad because they don't have a Pikachu.
I don't. I'm lucky. I know who he is. He was like the main one, right? I think I know who that one is. But Pika. No, just this collective mentality that everybody just jumps on these things right away because they're looking for distractions from the fact that the world is so horrible. It's like, well, you could do something better. I don't know. go plant something. Go read a book. Mushrooms. Go back. Go. Get, well, yeah, get that. That's always a good idea.
Mushrooms to get on talk radio.
I think both of us can attest to the fact that that is it's a wonderful experience. I think
soon to be my new hobby. I'm working on it.
I encourage everybody to try that. But going back to what we were talking about earlier, read some books instead. Chasing invisible imaginary creatures around for what? What do you get out of this? You get points. Like,
what do you get out of TV shows?
I don't know. Enjoyment, yeah, I guess.
That's what it is. It's all about entertainment. But this entertainment actually requires you to go outside and walk around. So, yeah. My feet hurt because of Pokemon Go, but
listen,
probably lost some weight.
I walk an average of like 7 to 10 miles a day already.
Walk because you're walking dogs.
Yeah,
I don't walk dogs,
and I don't need to do any more walking.
Yeah, too bad you can't hold the phone and Pokemon while you're holding the 80 different dog leashes.
Yeah, that would be kind of tough. I'm lucky I can actually, well, you know, with like 6 dogs, I can usually manage to free up one hand for temporarily to like change a podcast or something.
Yeah.
But holding it to like look through it and track down these little things that I won't be able to see without the phone. Oh, hell no. Or heck no. Or whatever I'm supposed to say here. can I say that here? I don't even remember anymore. It's late. I'm tired.
Go Team Instinct. Team Instinct.
Exactly. There's teams. What do you win? Are there prizes?
Pokemans. You get Pokemans.
What, the cards or like little stuffed animals? I don't know.
No, just
virtual Pokemans. Ones. Oh, yeah. Excellent. It's like an
exciting. That's redemption. It's redemption in the end. Catching all the Pokemans. Gotta catch them all.